हरिः ओम् तत्सत् श्रीगुरुभ्यो नमः हरिः ओम् ओम् सदाशिवसमारम्भाम् वन्दे भगवन्तौ पुनः पुनः I have given the literal meanings of the Dhyana Shlokas. I wait to give you the proper unfoldment of the Dhyana Shlokas. We'll do that, I'll do later on. But now we have completed the first verse, have we? Vishvam darpana drishyamana nagari tulyam nijantargatam pashyannat Mani Mayaya Bahiribod Bhotayatanitraya Yasakshat Kurute Prabodha Samaye Swatmana Mevadvayam Tasmai Shri Guru Murtaye Namaidam Shri Dakshina Murtaye बीजस्यान्तरिवाङ्कुरो जगदिदम् प्राङ् निर्विकल्पम् पुनः बीजस्यान्तरिवाङ्कुरो जगदिदम् प्राङ् निर्विकल्पम् पुनः मायाकल्पितदेशकालकलना वैचित्र्यचित्रीकृतम् मायाकल्पितदेशकालकलना वैचित्र्यचित्रीकृतम् मायावीव विजृम्भयत्यपि महायोगीव यस्वेच्छया मायावीव विजृम्भयत्यपि महायोगीव यस्वेच्छया तस्मै श्रीगुरुमूर्तये नम इदम् श्रीदक्षिणामूर्तये प्लीज सी इन ऑल दीस वर्सेस द एसेंस ऑफ वेदांतिक टीचिंग इज पैक्ड इन अ नटशेल ओके एवरी वर्स इज हाईली प्रेग्नेंट विद द कंटेंट एंड एज आई टोल्ड यू ऑफ ऑल दीस स्तोत्रम्स 65 stotrams Adishankara Bhagavatpada has written. In all of them, Sagunam Brahma is invoked. And this is a very special verse where Dakshinamurti is invoked as Saguna Brahma, Saguna Ishwaraha, and also as the personification of Nirgunam Brahma. So, in this, by way of invoking Dakshinamurti, Adishankara Bhagavatpada presents the essence of the Vedantic teaching. That is why this Dakshinamurti Stotram, even though Stotram means glorification, praise, this text comes under the category of the Prakarana Granthaha. Dakshinamurti Stotram is considered to be a Vedantic manual. Vedantic treatise is a Prakarana Granthaha. Especially, Dakshinamurti Stotram, actually to study, to understand, one must have been already, really speaking, exposed to the Upanishadic teaching. Because the essence of the teachings alone are presented here. One more thing, when we study the Upanishad, we don't study mechanically. There's a way how you listen to the teaching, understand different concepts, different features taught in the Upanishad thoroughly, then repeatedly we are supposed to dwell upon the teaching. Sometimes it is too much to read the whole Upanishad to dwell upon. After having studied Upanishad, again to dwell upon the contents to read the whole Upanishad again, one may not have time. So now, those important features of the teachings are condensed and given in a nutshell in this stotra. So textbooks, texts like them, when you study, it'd be easy to dwell upon the teaching. So mainly Dakshinamurti Stotram also is meant for understanding and to dwell upon the teaching. So it's a text meant for contemplation. So Dakshinamurti Stotram, Bhagavatpada, how does he present the teaching? He presents in the first three verses, he unfolds the meaning of the Mahavakyam, which means there are many Mahavakyams we know. So many Mahavakyams are there. Of all of them, there are four given as samples from Rigveda, Aitreya Upanishad. We have this Pragyanam Brahma Mahavakyam. And from Brihadaranyaka Upanishad belonging to Yajurveda has Aham Brahmasmi. And we have Chandogya Upanishad belonging to Samaveda having Tattvamasi Mahavakyam. And we also studied Mandukya Upanishad wherein Ayam Atma Brahma, this Mandukya Upanishad belonging to Atharvana Veda has this Ayam Atma Brahma Mahavakyam. So here, of all these, so many Mahavakyams are there, not just four. But of these, Tattvamasi Mahavakyam is something special. Why? Because it is in the form of the direct addressing of the teacher. Tattvam Asi. It's actually the teacher is pointing out to every student, you are that. So in the form of the direct teaching of the student. Therefore, Tattvamasi is something special. Even though all Upanishads are, all Mahavakyams are equally important and great. So here, Tattvamasi Mahavakyam is picked up and Shankara Bhagavatpada unfolds the nature of the Jivatma Swarupam, the essential nature of every individual being pure consciousness. Implied by the term Atma is unfolded here in the first verse, which we have already completed. Even though Jivatma Swarupam is revealed there, it was very clearly shown how this entire universe, which is experienced in the waking state, Vishwam Darpana Drishyamana Nagari Tulyam, it is similar to the world which is experienced in the waking state, is similar to the big city reflected in the huge mirror. The word is mithya. Mirror is unaffected by whatever is happening in the reflected city. So also, this universe is comparable to the dream world obtaining within the waker. But even though it is within one's own self, it seems to be outside as long as person is in sleep. When a person wakes up from sleep and the waker discovers the dream world being non-separate from himself, all the dream time, dream space, dream objects, dream people, everything becomes resolved in the waker on waking up from sleep. Which means the waker sees only himself. Then the waker does not see, the person who wakes up from sleep does not see the waker, does not experience the waker, does not experience the waker, sees the waker, but the person who wakes up from sleep claims waker as one's own self. This claiming of the waker as one's own self is called Sakshatkarha. In the same way, here a person who was woken up from a sleep of ignorance, who was in the sleep, he was much deeper sleep of ignorance. When he wakes up, woken up by the teacher, being taught, when he wakes up from the sleep of ignorance, and from the standpoint of one's own Swarupam, he sees this Jagrat Prapanchaha also being mithya. Even though this Jagrat Prapanchaha seems to be external to oneself, appears to be real, these two problems are there. In Ajnanam, this waking universe appears to be external to oneself. It appears to be real also. In Jnanam, one can see this universe being not outside of oneself, the universe existing within one's own self, the universe being not real mithya. These two facts become clear when a person wakes up from the sleep of ignorance. Then he does not experience the Atma, does not see the Atma, but he claims Atma as one's own self. This claiming the Atma as one's own self is called Sakshatkaraha. There's no face-to-face meeting with Bhagavan standing in front of oneself, in front of us. It's very important. What Sakshatkara is a very important word. Sakshatkara means what? The person who was woken up from sleep of ignorance claims the Atma as one's own self. And from the standpoint of the oneself, he does not see a second thing. But he sees himself being one, secondless, non-dual, all-pervasive reality, consciousness, implied by the term Atma. The one who has recognized that Swarupam as one's own self, as a person who is now no more asleep, alone, he is capable of waking up other person who is still asleep. Such a person alone can be a guru. And that guru is my guru, Govindapada Acharya, Shankaracharya says, who is none other than Dakshinamurti. Unto him, my salutations. This is the content of the first verse. Now, we have already started the second verse. I gave some, introduced this verse last class. So in the second verse, Shankar Bhagavatpada unfolds the Tatpada Lakshyartha, the implied meaning of the word Tat. So, listen to me carefully. Don't take it, even if you know already, please listen. It's very important to listen because clarity enhances. That is when some penny drops always. The word Tat, you all know, third person singular pronoun, literally. But in the context of Chandogya Upanishad, the Tat pronoun stands for Paramatma, the Lord of the whole. So, Tatpada Lakshyartha is going to be unfolded here. Okay. Which means, the first line, if we take, Shankara Bhagavatpada first wants to establish one thing, Satkarya Vadaha. He establishes two things here in the second verse. Satkarya Vadaha establishes, then he also presents Bhagavan as Abhinna Nimitta Upadana Karanam of the universe. Okay, the intelligent cause and the material cause, both the causes of the universe is one and the only Bhagavan Paramatma. That also he establishes. What is Satkarya Vadaha? Let us understand here. What is Satkarya Vadaha? As I don't know whether I mentioned it last class, the discussion comes like this. Actually, Satkarya Vadaha, actually cosmology, the creation is a very big theory. It involves a lot of discussions. Many philosophers have their own theories of creation. So Shankara Bhagavatpada also hints, not elaborately discusses, but hints at the point. That is, what is more important for us is to understand the creation properly in the light of the Vedantic teaching. What is creation according to Vedanta? That has to become very clear. So, in Chandogya Upanishad, there is a discussion on this creation. Creation is analyzed. In that context, there is Shankara Bhagavatpada establishes the Satkarya Vadaha. The same thing I had to bring in here also. That's why I'm telling this. Please listen. What is Satkarya Vadaha? Before the origination of the pot, the pot already exists in potential condition in the clay, which means an effect or product already exists in potential condition in the cause. is what is called Satkarya Vadaha. I can put it in Sanskritam also. Karanas Srishtehe Prak, Srishtehe Prak, Karana Karane, Karya Karyas Karyam Asti. Srishtehe Prak, Karane Karyam Asti, Sat. Iti Vadaha, Satkarya Vadaha. Here in Chandogya Upanishad, well, let me put it very briefly what is discussed there. See, the question comes, before the creation, before the pot emerged from the clay, was there an existent pot or was there a non-existent pot? This is the question, okay? Before the pot emerged from the clay, was there the existent pot or was there a non-existent pot? This is the question raised. We have to say any one of the answers we have to choose. This Shankaracharya uses to negate all the different theories of creation, who all think that creation has been come into existence newly, who believe the creation is real. Creation is, has a beginning. Okay, to refute all of them, it is only a small trick he does. Okay, what is the question? Before the pot emerged from the clay, was there the existent pot or was there a non-existent pot? Suppose if we say the creation, the non-existent pot would not have existed before. That is why it's come newly. So if you say non-existent pot has originated, non-existent pot has come into existence, if you say, is it right or wrong? Non-existent pot cannot come into existence. How can something come into existence from non-existent? It can't come into existence. Why? Because Shankara Bhagavatpada says it has two problems. One is it has logical fallacy, because from non-existent cannot come into existence, the logical fallacy. Then grammatical error. Non-existence has come into existence means a non-existent pot is born, means the sentence has a verb without a subject. If a sentence has a verb without a subject, it is grammatical error. So anyway, non-existent pot cannot come into existence. Is it clear? You cannot say a non-existent pot is involved in the act of being born. It is wrong. There cannot be a sentence having a verb without a subject. Who is the doer? Who subject is not there. Agent of action is missing. Therefore, grammatical error also is there. Of course, logical fallacy is there. Therefore, that is wrong. So can existent pot come into already existent pot emerge newly? No. Existent pot need not come into existence. Non-existent pot cannot come into existence. Therefore, there's no way of both cannot be done, which means there's no creation. Which means what is already there alone, okay, comes into existence. What is this then? Can we call it creation? No. Why is the word creation used? This is the question. So Shankara Bhagavatpada says, the word creation is actually a misnomer, wrong word for a different phenomenon. What is the different phenomenon? Always, there is effect is always in potential, unmanifest, undifferentiated condition. What is unmanifest, undifferentiated, potential condition becomes manifest. This unmanifest becoming manifest is a form of transformation, change. This change alone is said to be, in fact, one of the six bhava vikaras is change. So birth is actually a change. Death also is a change. Really speaking, absolutely, there's no creation, there's no destruction of anything. Similarly, what is manifest also, becoming unmanifest alone, is said to be a destruction. Really speaking, there's no destruction also. There only changes. Okay. So he explains that very beautifully. When experiment there, that we have to bring in here. This is the job of the teacher. Now, which means the entire universe already existed, which Vishwam Asit. Where Srishtehe Prak Vishwam Asit. The entire universe existed before it originated, before it manifested. Before its manifestation, universe existed. Where was it? Where was it? Where did it exist? He said, in Brahman. It was in Brahman. It was in Brahman means it was in Brahman. In what condition? Potential, unmanifest, undifferentiated condition. Like what? Like the sprout in a seed. Bijasya antaha ankuraha iva. Yatha bijasya. At least Sanskritam can help you understand this much language. Yatha bijasya antaha ankuraha asti. Tatha brahmani jagat avyakta rupena asti. Okay, the universe exists in Brahman in unmanifest, undifferentiated condition, like the sprout inside the seed, inside of the seed. Bijasya antaha. Now, the question is, when you say within, inside the seed, the sprout is, means the sprout, actually, I must tell you, the banyan tree, the huge banyan tree's seed is much smaller than mustard seed. Atip maram, mustard seed, much tinier than the mustard seed. You cannot even break it open. If you break it open, it will get crushed. And within that seed, amazing, huge tree, all the branches, the big, huge trunk, adventitious roots, then side root, tap root, so many leaves, the fruits, the flowers, the taste of the flower, the fruit, the color of the flower, fruit, the color of the flowers, fragrance of the flowers, everything is unmanifest inside the seed. If you break open, you cannot see anything. Break open the seed, you cannot see anything. Why? All these different parts I'm talking about now, they all remain undifferentiated, unmanifest in potential condition. Then gradually, when the seed gets soaked in water, then it bulges and gradually the sprout comes out. Gradually, all the parts become manifest and become differentiated. Similarly here, in Brahman, the Jagat was in potential, unmanifest, undifferentiated condition. Avyakta rupena, avyakrita rupena. I want you to remember both these words. Avyakta rupena, avyakrita rupena, Jagat Brahmani asit. Jagat was in Brahman. Now, another expression I want to tell you. We usually, what do we say? The seed, actually, the sentence must be like this. Sprout is inside of unmanifest in potential condition inside of the seed. So universe is inside in Brahman, unmanifest in Brahman. This is the right expression, but still, how do we say, what do we say? The tree was in the form of a seed. We never say tree was inside the seed. Tree was unmanifest inside of the seed, we never say. In our expression, we say tree was in the form of a seed. So here also, Shankar Bhagavatpada says, the Vishwam was in the form of Brahman. Doesn't say in Brahman. Universe was in Brahman, he doesn't say. universe was in the form of Brahman, which means before the manifestation of the universe, what was only Brahman. Brahman alone was there. Okay, this is the first sentence he says. In the first sentence, he establishes the Satkari Vadaha. Bijasyantarivankuro jagadidam prang nirvikalpam. Okay, Punaha, I'll explain last. Nirvikalpam. So, nirvikalpam. Bijasya antaha yatha ankuraha. Just as the sprout is unmanifest, undifferentiated in the seed, inside of the seed, so this universe, Vishwam, was prang, means prak. Before its manifestation, it was there as Brahman. The word Brahman is implied by the expression nirvikalpam. Nirvikalpa means undivided, divisionless, non-dual reality, Brahma. The universe was there as Brahman. Brahman alone was. The absolute reality of the whole cosmos alone was without Nama Rupa. Was there. Okay, then what happened? What happened? Only Brahman became the world. How the world of the multiplied Chitrikritam. Now we are moving on to second line. The second line, Shikra Bhagavatpada presents Brahman as the Upadana Karanam, material cause. So now we are going to understand. Chitrikritam means what? Chitrikritam means this only Brahman became multiplied, diversified, magnified. Okay, magnified into what? Magnified into Chitrikrita. Chitrikrita, Vaichitriya. Vaichitriya means diverse variety. The only non-dual secondless reality Brahman became multiplied into the variety of beings, okay, the world of variety of beings. How? Kalana, influenced by the influence. Kalana means influence. Influence of time and space caused by Maya. So Maya causes the time and space. Time and space cause the division, multiplication. Which means, if one, now listen to me carefully, if one thing has to become many, one has to become multiplied into innumerable, countless forms, names and functions, multiplication is possible only through division. Okay, division must happen for the multiplication to be there. So what caused the division? Division must have happened. Without dividing into many, how can one become many? Division has happened. But division has happened means, what is that which caused the division? I tell you, this is a highly technical form, very beautiful verse, Shankara Bhagavatpada presents here. Okay, what is that which caused the division? He says, it is, the division is caused by time and space. Okay, time and space. Now you have to understand, stop, understand the fact. How does space cause division? First, let's understand this. Then we can understand how does time cause division. See, imagine, now we are all sitting in different houses. We're all different houses. One in Manchester, one in Croydon, one in St. Albans, one person sitting in Alexander Palace, different parts of London, United Kingdom, you're all here. But now, what is that which divide all of you? Okay, what is that which divide all of you? If the two people are there, the two people, what divides them? What is it which causes division between two people? Eva and Franz sitting in a city following social distance. sitting in two different corners. So what is that which causes now space? So space, definitely you can say, even between me and my laptop here, the division is caused by what? Space. If you remove the space, there's no distance. Please think, it's a really food for thought for you, okay? Now think a lot. Space causes division. And the division caused by space between the people of different places, what divides all of us now is just the space. Even me and you, what caused division is space. From Bahamas to United Kingdom, the distance is what? Space. Spatial distance. Space alone distances. Remove the space, we're all together one, as one. Which means this distance caused by space is called what? Is horizontal division. So horizontal division is caused by space. And horizontal division caused by space alone is looked upon as here, there, elsewhere. What is, we use expressions here, there, elsewhere. What is here, there, elsewhere? Actually, the spatial distance, the horizontal division caused by space is looked upon as here, there, elsewhere. Now similarly, there's another way of other division also is caused. Suppose I'm sitting here now in the same place, same time, another person cannot come and sit. Same place, same time cannot be occupied by two people. I'm here. So every one of you is sitting in your own locus. The same place where exactly you are now. In the same time, the same place, another person cannot occupy. Two people cannot occupy the same place in at same time. Suppose if somebody else has to sit there, you have to get up and move out to some other place, then some other person can come and sit there. Isn't it? But when you get up and go away, okay, you sit there for 1 hour. Okay, until lecture class is over, let me sit here. After class gets over, I give this place and you can play on laptop, computer. You have to promise your children that you are giving your laptop, okay? Then what happens? You sit for 1.5 hours and you get up and go, and the same place, your other family member comes and sits there. Which means the same location occupied by two different people, but in two different timings. Is it clear? This is called what? This division caused by time is called, this is a vertical division. So vertical division caused by time, horizontal division caused by space. So vertical division caused by time alone is looked upon as past, present and future. I can really give more examples to explain this better. I'm sure you all have understood. Okay. So vertical division caused by time is looked upon as past, present and future. Okay. So, Desha Kala Kalana Vaichitra Chitri Kritam. Amazing. This one and the only secondless, undivided, indivisible reality has been multiplied, diversified, magnified into a world of innumerable variety of beings by the influence of time and space. Okay. Now Shastram says, this time and space are caused by what? This Maya. What is Maya? Maya obtaining in Brahman. What is Maya? There's no Maya other than power of reality. The power of reality, okay, it's when it's activated, then this Maya causes this time and space. Time and space are the culprits which really contribute for this horizontal and the divisions, vertical divisions. That is how one becomes many. Now, the question is, how to understand this fact? See, when we all see everything through these spectacles of time and space. Listen to me carefully. We all helplessly see everything through the spectacles of time and space. Whenever we remove this, there's a time when we remove our spectacles. When you go to bed, when you're very sleepy, when you fall asleep, you remove these specs and keep it away. Along with this external, in these specs, we also remove the spectacle of time and space in sleep. What happens? The time and space resolve. The whole world of plurality resolves. You alone are just yourself in sleep. Isn't it amazing? How many Shastram has thought about it long ago? When you fall asleep, what happens? You remove the spectacle of time and space in sleep. The duality disappears. So whenever you wear the spectacle of time and space, you see through time and space, the non-dual absolute reality appears to be the world of plurality. Whenever you remove the spectacle of time and space, the world of plurality resolves into non-dual reality. This is the fact. Therefore, what is this whole universe then? The Maya Shakti obtaining in Brahman alone becomes what causes this time and space, and by the influence of time and space, and because of this vertical and horizontal divisions, this Vaichitra Chitrikritam, this wonderful world, multiplied, diversified, magnified world of variety of innumerable countless forms, names and functions become manifest here. Therefore, Brahman is what now? Upadana Karanam. Brahman does not undergo any change. Brahman remaining what it is, because Maya does not have independent existence outside of Brahman. Therefore, Maya becoming the Jagat means Brahman as the Brahman. For Maya Shaktiran becomes the whole universe, which means Brahman is non-separate from the universe. Universe is non-different from Brahman. Why? Brahman as the material cause is very much there as existence of everything here. Just as clay is the substance, clay is in the form of existence of the pot, water is in the form of existence of the ocean, wood is in the form of existence of the furniture, Brahman is in the form of existence of the universe. Okay, this is the material causes established. Now we move on to the next. Now this Brahmatma, okay, Vijrumbhayati. Brahmatma, this Atma, Brahman, what now? Vijrumbhayati creates, throws out. Means, not only Brahman is the material cause, the intelligent cause also is Brahman. Like how the spider is the intelligent cause of its own web, best example is our own dream. Again, we have to remember our own dream. The waker is the intelligent cause. The waker is the material cause. Waker is the instrumental cause also. Nimitta karanam, upadana karanam, sahakari karanam also, waker alone of his own dream. Once you doze off and you see this dream time, dream space, dream objects, dream people, dream experiences, the whole dream world has been projected, created by you as a waker when you fall asleep and you create your own dream. And how do you create? If it is possible for you to be the creator of your dream world, it is possible for Bhagavan to create this waking universe. And for all the three causes, intelligent cause of your dream world is you. Material cause of the dream world is you, the waker. The instrumental cause, Sahakari Karanam, also of the universe is you. Everything is you. All that you need to do is you need to doze off and you can create the dream. Similarly, Bhagavan also, how your own vasanas, using the vasana, you project the dream world. Paramatma creates this whole universe, but just because of Vikshepa Shakti of Maya, Bhagavan creates, throws out this universe. Vijrumbhayati means Bhagavan throws out this universe out of himself. Out of himself. Like what? Here Shankara Bhagavad Pada does not want to give the same old example of dream example. He gives two other examples. What are the examples he gives? One example is of a magician. The magician is one example. And another example is a Mahayogi. Mayavi Iva. Like the magician. What does the magician do? He stands in front of you on a stage. I don't know how many of you, you all must have seen a very wonderful, wonderful, extremely better, best magic shows. I also have some fortune of seeing some simple magic shows in the village. You know, the person stands on the stage. We all wonderstruck. Oh, we see, look at him. The person doesn't have anything in his hands. No material. You know, he has intelligence. He is material cause and the intelligent cause. And he is intelligent cause. How he brings, we don't know. And then he just takes his hats and shows the hat and the bird flies out from there. And then he can pull from his mouth the colorful threads. And he brings so many things. Hardly bird comes and sits on his shoulder. The magician, how he creates, how he projects the magical, using his magical power, how he projects the magic, his own presence's projections. Just example, out of nothing himself. Similarly, Mahayogi, the great yogi, the yogi is the one who has meditation powers, yogic powers, not meditation, yogic powers, living completely in a secluded life because of his total committed life of the yogic powers, the proper guidance, one should meditate, otherwise you get into trouble. When a person meditates, because of his yogic powers, he has a lot of occult powers and he can materialize things just outside himself. Even though it's all mithya, it's not nothing great, nothing as superior as the jnana. Knowledge is the most superior thing. Okay? But example is given. Don't take the example very seriously. So the yogi also is capable of materializing things out of himself. He is the intelligent cause just like that. Paramatma also throws out of himself the whole universe. I remember Swamiji saying, you know, even the biblical statement, this God created the universe out of nothing. No, that sentence should be corrected. If we see the sentence in the Vedantic vision, then you can understand God created universe out of nothing, not out of nothing, not out of nothing. Out of nothing else, but out of himself. God created the universe out of nothing else, but out of himself. So, Vijrumbhayati. Therefore, intelligent cause also is Bhagavan. Now I'm going to read this. Okay? Now you finished. It's been clear, the teaching is over here. I have to teach you one more thing. Let me make it very clear. Bijasyantariva ankuro ankurahaiva. Bijasyantariva ankuro jagadidam prang nirvikalpam punaha mayakalpita desha kalakalana vaichitrya chitrikritam mayaviva vijumbhayatyapi api means also not only Paramatma is the material cause, intelligent cause also is Paramatma. Paramatma also created throughout, he got multiplied, means throughout this universe, like the magician, like Mahayogi, Mayavi Iva, Mahayogi Iva, like Mahayogi, like a great yogi, like a magician, Vijrumbhayati, Api Vijrumbhayati, Yaha, the one who, that Paramatma is none other than Dakshinamurtihi. That Dakshinamurti alone is in him of my teacher. Unto him, my salutations. This is the teaching. It's complete. Now, one more word is left. What is that word? Punaha. Is it clear now? The two important things is established here. Now, punaha means again. It's an indeclinable word. What does the word punaha mean? See, punaha actually, Shankara Bhagavatpada specifically is put there again. Again means what? Before the universe was unmanifest, it was manifest, then it became unmanifest again. Originally, the universe was manifest, became unmanifest, again it becomes manifest. So again, it's going to become unmanifest. It becomes manifest, again it'll become unmanifest. Again it become manifest. This punaha means again and again and again and again, beginninglessly, endlessly, continuously, there will be the universe becoming manifest and unmanifest. Why he has to mention this? This, there's no creation, there's no destruction of anything. All it has been made very clear. Nothing is created, nothing is destroyed. So manifestation is a change. Becoming unmanifest also is a change. One to two of the Shad Bhava Vikaras, modifications, that's all. And this is, the question comes, why did Bhagavan create this universe? How did Bhagavan create this universe? Why should Bhagavan not keep quiet? And because I'm suffering in this world, especially when we go through problems like Corona, then the question comes, why did Bhagavan create this universe and send troubles like this, Corona and all these things? We are struggling. So here is the answer. So why did Bhagavan create? No answer is the answer. No answer is the answer means what? This question is the wrong question. It's a wrong question. There's no answer for this. Why? Because Bhagavan never created this universe. Already it has been made very, very clear. Which means it has been there beginninglessly. It is going to be there endlessly also. Endlessly, this life will be there. Beginninglessly, it will be there. Which means the people who are scientific oriented minded. Because of scientific orientation, we always want to ask questions. Because in science, we have to say, when did it begin? When did it end? Because we want the beginning, want to know the beginning point and the end point. If there is a sentence and there's a line, it should have a beginning, it should have an end. Line has a beginning and an end. Therefore, see this creation also is not one straight line. Not one straight line. One straight line means what? There's a beginning point and an end point. Whoever wants to know, whoever says, now having the scientific orientation, if somebody says, no, creation has a beginning, it has an end also, means they are said to have linear thinking. Okay, people of scientific orientation are very much given to linear thinking. But Shastra's teaching doesn't accept the linear thinking here. Why? Because creation has no beginning, no end. Because there's no creation at all. It's a beginningless, endless, constantly, continuously happening the process. Okay, something always is. There's no destruction. Creation means always the universe exists unmanifest in Brahman. Again, from being unmanifest, it becomes manifest. From being manifest, it becomes unmanifest. This is a constantly, continuously happening cyclic process. Cyclic process is different from as we think. The view of people of linear thinking. Cyclic process means there's no beginning and no end. And this is something unpreventable, unmodifiable, unchangeable. This is a phenomenon, natural phenomenon. Unchangeable, unmodifiable, unalterable natural phenomenon. Then somebody asked the question, is it not possible to stop this process? No, no way. This process, the cyclic process of the universe becoming manifest and unmanifest, cannot be stopped at all. Oh my God, then how can I get free? That is a nice question. That is a good question. For which there is an answer. Shastram says, it is possible for every individual to discover one's own Swarupam, the truth, being Atma, by claiming one's real nature as Atma. And from the standpoint of the Atma, one can understand the fact that the one's own Swarupam, the truth, one's own self, the reality, which is the very Adhara for this samsara. Samsara does not exist outside of you. But you can understand samsara being non-different from you, yourself being non-separate from samsara. No, not samsara. This samsara means this cyclic process, okay? Non-different from you, which means you are absolutely unafflicted by samsara. Okay? One can definitely prevent, one cannot prevent the cyclic process of this manifestation and becoming unmanifest. But definitely one can free oneself from the process of suffering. 100% it is possible. That is what is moksha. How is it possible? For which one has to understand what is Atma, what is not Atma. Then one has to shift the I sense cognitively from Anatma to Atma. Only by way, this is a fact. This is a fact. There's no cock and bull story involved here. One has to see the fact of one's real nature being Atma. Thereby, one can free oneself from bondage. This is the only way. This is the only way of freeing oneself from bondage. One can stop, one can prevent one's process of suffering, the process of one's suffering, but the samsara, all problems, all ailments, all pains, definitely, absolutely, one can discover one's fullness, one can revel in the vision of one's fullness, definitely, but there is no way of stopping this cyclic process of the universe. Okay, this is what is meant by the expression punaha. Is it clear? Classes, I finished this teaching. Second verse is completed. Any doubts, any questions? You're so good. Here, people will be asking a lot of questions here. They stop me in between, that's why very delayed also. Okay, everything is very clear, isn't it? Any word you didn't understand in the shloka? And the next verse is amazing verse. No way, in third verse, it is going to really bang. Lot of doubts will. It should make you see how you are Brahma. Okay? Now you can make out, Tompada Artha Lakshyartha has been unfolded in the first verse. Tatpada Lakshyartha has been unfolded in the second verse. Now asipada artha is there. You can make out easily. Third word is going to be the unfoldment of the implied meaning of the word asi. So asi means tvam. Asi means are. You all know very well. Tatu tvam asi. Asi, you are. So it is this asi, the verb, which equates the individual to the total. Okay. The equation is made possible by this asi word. Asi is the word, verb, which equates the jivatma to paramatma. Now, so in what form does, if paramatma is the intelligent and material causes of the universe, now in every effect, the universe is an effect. From the standpoint of the effect, paramatma is attributed, causal status is attributed to paramatma. Just as cause obtains in the form of existence of the effect. We can always understand water obtains in the form of existence of the ocean. Clay obtains in the form of existence of the pot. Gold obtains in the form of existence of the ornament. Wood obtains in the form of existence of the furniture. Fabric obtains in the form of existence of the shirt. Always cause obtains in the form of existence of the effect. Therefore, here also the whole cosmos. Now, Bhagavan is the substance. Just as clay is the substance of the pot, wood is the substance of the furniture, gold substance of the ornament, Paramatma is the only substance of the entire cosmos. Paramatma is very much there in the universe as the existence of the universe. How inseparably Paramatma is there in the universe. You cannot separate the clay and cause and effect. Inseparable. Like that, the universe is non-different from Paramatma. Paramatma is non-separate from the universe. Even though Paramatma is distinct from the universe, but not distant from the universe. The word Paramatma is in the form of existence of the universe. So, Hatam Asti Paramatma Jagati Satta Rupena Satta. Now, first, Chit Rupena Atma Asti. We understood the reality obtaining in the form of Chit. Chaitanyam, consciousness, as it's surupam of the experiencer. We understood that, which is the tvampada lakshyartha. Now, what is the tatpada lakshyartha? Satta, sat. Existence is the surupam of, is the implied meaning of the word tat. Now we know, chit, consciousness is the essential nature of every individual. Existence, Paramatma is the name of existence of every object in the world. Now, the third verse, this asi, the word asi is equating chit and sat. Chit is equated to sat. It means consciousness is existence. Existence is consciousness. They're one and the same. This has to be done. This understanding chit being sat. Chit being chit is what? Tirukalyanam. Tirukalyanam means marriage. In temples, we organize Tirukalyanam. Okay. Murugakanu Kalyanam, Shiva Parvati wedding happens. If you go to Lushim Shiva temple, one day they have this wedding also. Okay. I have to start the third verse that I will do next class. Rope is the vivarta upadana karana. Rope is the vivarta upadana karanam for the rope snake. And the ignorance of what is. Ignorance of rope being the rope is the cause. But still, we say the rope is the vivarta upadana karanam. What is that which is existence? The existence of the rope is the existence of the rope snake. Therefore, rope is the cause, lends existence to the effect. So for the seemingly real snake, rope is the vivarta upadana karanam. Anyway, third verse is done, it become much clearer. So Svechaya, one word I left. Svechaya is by sankalpa matram, by his will. Sankalpa matram, without requiring any cause, anything. No instrument is required, nothing is required. How you create your dream world. That is the example I gave. The Shastram gives. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti.